Blog Talk Radio.
Separate.
this earth when we touch God to preach the word of God. My Bible is my only shield and the music is my rod. I pray that God will hear my voice and listen when I call. But all they do is scare me on like they don't care at all. We were made to serve God. And together we live forever. We were made to serve God. And together we live forever.
Holy Jesus, hello.
What must I do when worldliness calls me? What must I do when death had to say? I must tell Jesus, and he will help me over the world, victory to win.
Thank you.
despite myself, a simple soul. Get the whole world to sing along. I'll call it a love song for you. Who knows, I'm liable to take the songs off the Bible. And then when I'm strong, I just sing love, please let me. Never, never stay away. And if you only see the table spread a ripple all the way, you will talk to the day. Cause when the door is open wide, into my garden did you come, there is nothing you have to say. And it just be wise and step inside, and it will give you life some. Oh, you know you're only dollar away. Oh, real, real. God is so real to me. I love it. Won't you give me the victory? I'm missing many, many people doubting, but I just can't do without him. And that is why I love him so. He is so real to me. Oh, when you see me coming, I've got it on my mind. When you see me coming, I've got it on my mind. When you see me coming, I've got it on my mind. I've got Jesus on my mind.
I know Jack is real, and I can feel him coming to love me and the express for me. Yeah. hear it, I'm hearing it in sing. Like the reggae, worship ain't in truth. I'm hearing it in sing. Like the reggae, to heal, to save, to bless, and to deliver mankind. Like the reggae, the Holy Spirit, I'll pray this name. Alive, 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 alive. So I love to hear country music about created every man. R&B and soul, that's all right, because everything is owned by him. Rock music, jazz, and soca, he created too. To spread the only good news. And here's one, too, I'm created to sing it. Pop the reggae, to worship pain and spirit, I'm created to sing. Pop the reggae, to worship pain and truth, I'm created to sing it. Pop the reggae, to heal, to save, to bless, and to deliver my power. Pop the reggae, to the Holy Spirit, I'm created to save my power. On high, on high. Now everything was created by God for the King of Kings. And if His name be lifted up, He'll draw all men to Him. I'm created to sing it. Stop the reggae, to worship Him in spirit. I'm created to sing. Stop the reggae, to worship Him in truth. I'm created to sing it. Stop the reggae, to heal, to save, to bless, and to deliver the high.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank God for you, Brother Deacon, being faithful to be here with us. We are so grateful that the Lord has allowed us to be in the land of the living here. Trying to let Cole is trying to catch me, but I'm moving away from it because I can't afford to have a cold. And we are thankful for the healing power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are excited and we are delighted that He has granted us one more day in the land of the living. Hallelujah, Jesus. So, Father God, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day that you have given us this morning to come in and bow down at your throne this morning. We ask, O Father God, that you would forgive us of any thoughts, any words, any deeds, any actions, O God, that we may have committed, known or not known. We ask, O God, that you would allow us to hear from heaven this morning, that you would speak to us and speak through us, O God. It is you, O God, that we adore. It is you, my Father, that we seek. We seek your face this morning and not your hand. We ask for your peace and for your love and for your mercy to go forth over this here church land this morning. God, we ask you to touch nations and congregants all over the world. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, for you are our Lord, our God, and our Redeemer. Jesus' holy name. Father, speak, and we would listen. Oh, Father, we ask that you would touch today. All we need today is a touch from you. Your touch makes all the difference. In the mighty name of Jesus, glory to God. Oh, yes, yes, yes. We ask you to bless this word. Bless this word and allow us to hear today, Jesus. Allow us to hear today. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We're going to be talking today to you with the subject matter is live. Live your life to live again. Live your life to live again. And we're going to try our best, if the Holy Spirit say the same, not to hold you too long. All we want to do in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is get the message on the recording. As long as we get the message on the recording, we have accomplished what the Lord has called us to do today. Hallelujah. Let's go to our scripture reading is in Revelation chapter 20. But let's look at a few scriptures a little bit there, and then we'll come back and jump around. Here in Revelation chapter 20, and I'm going to read a little bit of the narration and so on, but he says verse 4 and 5, and we're talking about living to live again. So we say live your life that you might live again. Because so many people today are saying, and you will hear them say, and they would emphasize very strongly, I'm going to heaven. They'll tell you like that. They're sure they're going to heaven. They say, I'm going to heaven. But then when you look at their lifestyle, it doesn't speak that. You know, if we are ministering, and we talked about that yesterday with somebody, if we minister to people and then we gossip about them, if you are in a sect of leaders and you minister with them and for them, and then you talk about them, you're not going to heaven. Gossip will hinder you. Gossip will be the thing that will block you from entering into heaven. That's why I don't talk to too many people. I spend my time with myself, and I don't even share when I minister to somebody or I counsel somebody. I don't go to my wife and say, well, honey, you know this body dealing with this and that body dealing with that. If I pray for somebody, I don't say, my wife, baby, let me tell about this person. They got this and they got that. I don't do that because it's not between her and me and God. It's between me and God and the person. Hallelujah. We find ourselves not socializing a lot with people because we try not to get into gossip. Here what we do. What we want to do is do the love, the will of God. John said, I saw thrones and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither had his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. See, the key is that once we make a decision, John began to see the martyrs, those that were martyred, was killed for Christ's name, for the gospel, for the word, for Christ. He saw them. They died. But now life is given back to them, eternal life. This represents, the thrones represents the administration of the messianic kingdom. And those whom John sees come to life on the tribulation, are the tribulation martyrs who refuse to worship the beast or even take the mark of the beast. They will rule the earth with Christ for 1,000 years. Christ will rule through three classes of kingdom administrators. One, the Old Testament saints in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19, Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, who will be resurrected at this time. And number two, the apostles and the church, Matthew chapter 19, verse 28 and 29. And number three, the tribulation saints, Luke chapter 19, verse 12 to 27. Only believers will enter the millennium at the beginning. John 3, verse 3 and verse 5. God promised to Abraham in Genesis 12 and 2 and 3, and David chapter 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16. It will be fulfilled. Luke chapter 1, verse 31 to 33. Romans chapter 11, verse 15 and verse 29. After the millennium, Christ will deliver the kingdom to God, the Father, and will then be appointed ruler forever. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24 to 28. Now, here in the book of Revelation, as we are talking about live to live again, hallelujah, verse 5 says, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now, we have ministered this word from this book before. And what we said is that we all that are saved and sanctified in Christ's name that was washed in the blood, that is washed in the blood, we want to be in the first resurrection. We don't want to be in the second or the third. Why? Because the first resurrection, you have a sure thing with Christ. You're going to be with him. Hallelujah. Second and third, there's a maybe. There's a maybe, but there's no surety. Hallelujah. We know for sure that the third is not going to enter. We know that for sure. Hallelujah. Because they're coming before the judgment seat. But here, let's jump down to verse what I told you. Verse 11. Verse 11. John says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. Now, you know, the Bible says in Matthew that heaven and earth shall pass away. Well, the Bible said that the one that sit on the throne, this is Jesus, sitting on the throne, the great white throne, the throne of judgment, the judgment's throne. Heaven and earth passed away. Heaven and earth fled away from it. Now, verse 12 says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now, this is why that we all, you and I, all of us, that we ought to be living a lifestyle that is worthy of life everlasting or life eternal. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We don't want him to say, depart from me, you work of iniquity, I never knew you. We don't want to live our life professing that we are bishops, that we are apostles, that we are prophets, that we are evangelists, that we are pastors and teachers, and then go to hell because we have not lived the life that glorifies the Father. Do you hear me today? Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Yes. So John continued to speak. Now, what I like about this text here, right here, is that here in this verse 12, John says, when the book is open, another book was open, and the life, and the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So once I hear this tells me that we, you and I, all of us, we have to check our works. Check what we are doing. Does it line up with God's instructions? Does it line up with God's assignment? Does it line up with God's expectation? God's expectation is in the word. Listen what he said. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And there were judged every man according to their works. The death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Here it is. Death and hell. Hell, or grave, the grave represents hell. Okay? So it was cast into hell. This is the second death. You think the first death is something. The second death is crazy. Now, and it says, and whosoever was not written, whosoever was not found written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. No. Oh, my Lord Jesus. All of us know should be gasping for air right here. Gasping for oxygen. Every one of us ought to be gasping for air. Telemarketers, they don't call until they wake me up first thing in the morning. Then as soon as the program is going on, then it will hit me all through the day. Telemarketers. Now we got to live our life. I mean, not just telling sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so about your things you're doing. But we ought to be living our life because God is watching. God is watching. And God is hearing what's going on in our hearts. We are saying more than we are saying. What are you saying? You are saying more than you're really saying. You are saying one thing with your mouth, but your heart is saying something else. God is listening to your heart. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. I'm jumping all the way down my notes. Well, let's go to Kunda. King James Study Bible. Luke chapter 17. You all heard these scriptures before, but when the Lord bring it back to us, we have to bring them up. We have to bring them up and do what the Lord says. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We had a long talk with Angela Clear yesterday. She called yesterday after the service. And I didn't even know what was going on because I tell you, I was getting ready to get up because a lot of people was on the line, but people were not responding. So I decided I was going to get out, pray, and close up because I recorded what the Lord said to record. And the Lord took me into prayer. You all who that was there on the line heard. He took me into prayer. And I mean, I went up there in a place that I don't know if I've been there recently, but I tell you, he took me there. And it was just so amazing. And she called me yesterday. I didn't get off the program. I lay across the bed. I told her I was so drained. And she said to me that I had to call you, Pastor. I had to call you. And we're going to Luke chapter 16. Let's start at verse 19. You all know this about the rich man and Lazarus. We're going to talk there. But she began to tell me, she says, you were really hearing from God. I said, well, I promised the Lord that I would not speak and say he's saying that unless he's saying. Because I don't want to go to hell because I said God said something and he didn't say. And I question the thoughts that I get in my spirit. Because remember, your flesh speak to you. And the devil speak to you. Don't care how much you've been talking to God. You would say, well, I've been saved. I'm washing the blood. The devil's still talking to you. Why? Because the devil trying to distract you. The Bible says he come to kill, steal, and to destroy. So he's still putting thoughts in your head. Don't go on Blog Talk Radio. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't preach. Don't teach. Don't sing. Don't dance. He tell all that stuff. Don't go to church. Why you got to go to church? You shouldn't go to church. He tell this. The pastor is this. The bishop is this. The apostle is this. I'm not in agreement with him. You know, I had people call me and I had people get mad with me and tell other people. Say, well, I'm not in agreement with what he's teaching. Well, you don't have to be in agreement with me, but that's what God took me to teach. If you got a problem, go talk to him. So here we go back into the world. Let's go back in the world. Here, the Bible said there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple, and he wore fine clothes, and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. Now he had no problem. This man had no problem with enjoying the nice things of the world. Like you got some folk, they got four cars. They only can drive one. They got three, four cars. They got four-car garage. You know, big house. 5, 6, 7, 8, 10-bedroom homes. Four baths, five baths. But you think they would give somebody a room? You think they would invite a family that's sleeping on the street, mother and children and husband, on sleeping on the street? They don't know. They first thing they say, that people may come in here and kill me. They don't trust the power of the Holy Ghost to protect them. This rich man here, you know the whole story. So we're going to jump to a little bit, okay? We're going to jump to a little bit. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, verse 20, which laid at the gate, full of sores, and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. I remember back in the Caribbean that when we were young growing up, when I was young growing up, that if I get a scratch, we had always keep dogs. And I try to get to the dog and let the dog lick the scratch or the cut that I had, because it said that something in the saliva of the dog that would cause the cut or the scratches, the bruises that we get, to heal fast. But the Bible said that the Lazarus laid at the gate of the rich man, designed. I mean, he was just imagining in his heart that if I could just eat the crumbs from this man's table, I'll make it to another day. Do you hear me today? We're talking about live your life to live again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, the dogs came and licked his sores. No, he didn't have money to go to the doctor. He couldn't go down to the midwife, because the midwife did a lot of stuff too. They didn't only birth the baby. They didn't only have the women to have births. We had midwives back in my country that you could go to, and they could mix up some herbs and stuff and give you for certain ailments that you had. I don't know if in your down south if they did that here, but I know back in the country, back in the Caribbean, that the midwives would mix up stuff. And there's no different herbs and bushes and stuff that they could pick flowers from here and root from there. And they would grind this stuff up in the little grinding bowl and mixing bowl. And they would give you, mix you some water and stuff. And they would tell you, drink that stuff. And I've let surf do it sometimes just to cut the taste and say, drink that, son. Drink that, daughter. And when you drink that, this stuff would just cause you to go to the bathroom, cause your intestine to run, because all the sickness and all the bacteria in your body would just come out. Midwives will do that, because a lot of the people were poor, they weren't able to go to the doctor. Like, we can go to CVS, we can go to Walgreens, and we can go to Walmart and on Amazon, and we can get herbs and we can get different things that we need that would help us. No, it wasn't like that back then. We didn't have the money to go to Walmart. It was a Walmart or CVS or Walgreens. We had to go in the bush. That's why African people are so smart. We didn't have the money, but we knew the herbs, because God allowed us to learn the herbs. He gave us that intelligence. No, but back here in the Word, he said, and it came to pass, verse 22, that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and were buried. He was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his fingers in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. See, if we don't live the lifestyle that gives God glory, that honors God, we will experience the flame or the fire of hell. The term Sheol in Hebrew and Hades, Greek, Hades, but both to the place of suffering where the unsaved go until they are released into hell. In the Old Testament, to descend into Sheol was apparently a penalty for sin. Psalm 55 and 15. Proverbs 19 and 18. It is described as destruction. Job 26 and 6. Job 28 and 22. Job 31 and 12. Psalm 88 and 11. Proverbs 15 and 11. Proverbs 27 and 20. It was further described as naked before God. Hallelujah. Job 26 and 6. And the place where the wrath of God burns. Deuteronomy 32 and 22. At times, Sheol is also pictured as the home of the wicked only in Psalm 9 and 17. At times, Sheol is identified simply as the grave of the physically dead, where all people go when they die. In the New Testament, the rich man went to Hades on dying and suffering the torments of burning, separation, loneliness, conviction by memory, thirst and stench. Also, those lost in Hades can glimpse the paradise of the saved, Abraham's bosom. Although there is no biblical indication that the reverse is true, some believe that until the ascension, Abraham's bosom was also located in Sheol. That is the place of the physically dead, where Christ died. Christ died, he descended into Hades and led captivities captive. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 to 10. Everyone should give careful consideration to the gospel and trust the Lord as Savior in order to escape the torments of Hades. Deuteronomy 32 and 22. Luke chapter 16, verse 19 to 31. Revelation chapter 9, verse 1. Now we must get to this place where we are eager to live a life here in this earthly realm to live again. We are talking about live your life to live again. I'm just teaching for a little bit. Not preaching and jumping and shouting. Here, this rich man that we're talking about, he died and went to Hades. The poor man Lazarus died and he went to a place of comfort. He was taken to a place of comfort in Abraham's bosom. The Bible says the rich man cried from hell. He lifted his eyes up. In other words, he looked up and saw Lazarus the beggar in a place of comfort. That's what Abraham's bosom represents. a place of comfort. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. We have to be careful. You and I, this is why we stress so much in helping the poor, the widows, the fatherless, the motherless, the homeless. I got an email last night from Evangelist Tina, and it looks like things are going to happen, that the global reset is going to take place very soon. Because these people that are in power here in this country, they are moving things ahead. Many people are going to suffer greatly. But God has put us in a position that when the funds come, we'll be able to help many people, those of us that are in the circle, to help the people. But we have to show God now. We are showing God. Now, we have to see, because God sees everything anyway. The demand that we have, though, God is looking to see how we're using the little that we have. You ask people, and other people say, well, they want you to give, but they're working. They want you to give because they want to live a lavish lifestyle. They don't want you to give to ministry so that they can help the poor. You know, when they go to help the poor, they go back to the same people that's been paying tithes and giving offerings, and go back to them and say, look, we got to help these people down the street. They lost their home. They lost their car. They don't have a job. They go right back to them. They don't go into the church bank account and say, well, let's write a check for these people for $3,000 so they can get an apartment. They don't do that. They go back to the congregation. We call it, Jeremiah calls it, let me say we, because they would say I say that stuff. Jeremiah said that they're fleecing the people. He calls it fleecing. That's what God calls it, fleecing the people. And you're going back to the people more and more and more. It's like seeing a sore. Somebody has a sore. And you take a stick and push in the stick in the sewer. They're gonna hurt more. They're doing their best. They got people on Blog Talk with them. We got family members that have. They're going through stuff. But ever so often, the Lord touches their hearts and they answer the call, and they help. They donate. They give offerings, not for me, to help the people in India and Africa, the poor people that are much poorer than us. I mean, one of my deacons just called me up on Saturday. That's why I started the program a little late, because, I mean, the computer was turned on, but I wasn't here with my phone, because I had took my phone with me just in case if he had called me. And he said, well, I don't have much, but I want to sow something, and when I get some more, I get some more. So I went to get that from him. And we find out that the pastor says that in India, he said he is so grateful for what we are doing. You know, we don't have the thousands to give him that we would like to, but we're going to have it shortly. And he said, Apostle, I'm so grateful. We are so grateful because we've been praying to God to help us to get the funds to build the church. You know, they don't have no job. You got people walking around picking up plastic bottles to get a couple pennies so they can eat. In cans. But we are sending money at least once a month. At least once a month to Africa and India. So that India can build a new church. Because you know that the churches are being torn down and burning. Preachers of pastors are being killed for the sake of the gospel. We sit back here and we say, well, folk got these big mega churches. And they tell they're in $28,000, $30,000gold watch, a Rolex watch and stuff, and they have Bentleys and all, and that's all right. You know, if that's what they want. I drive a nice car too. God give that to me. It's almost 7 years old. You know, but it looks like I just got it from the showroom floor. I take care of it. And I fix what's going wrong with it. But here in this text here, Abraham began to have a conversation with the so-called rich man, because he's no longer rich, he's dead, he's in hell. He's in torment. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, this man started to talk to Abraham, because he got some brothers still in the earth realm, still alive. He said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. Verse 27. Verse 28. For I have five brothers that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. See, we are preaching about this thing and preaching about holiness and righteousness every day that we get a chance, because we want people to get an understanding that if you don't live holy, you're going to end up, it's a good chance that you're going to end up in the place of torment, in the place of torment, in the lake of fire and brimstone. People don't want to hear that. That's why people don't respond. Because they say, well, I don't have to respond to that stuff. I'm not into that. But God is speaking this stuff to all of us. Because if we don't make a decision to live holy and obey the word of God, live the word of God. That's how you know you obey the word of God. You live it. You follow the instruction that you're given. Stop gossiping. Stop lying. Stop stealing. Stop cheating. Stop doing those things. He says, go to my father's house because I got five brothers. I have five brothers over there. I don't have any more brothers. I only have one sister. All of my brothers have crossed over. My mother and my father. One sister living. I got to get back to the island before she crossed over. Hopefully, she'll live a longer life. I don't know who's going to cross over first, she or not, but I must get back and spend some time with her, a couple of weeks, a month or so. Verse 29 says, Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to them, if they did not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through one rise from the dead. Though one rise from the dead. Hallelujah. We are preaching this stuff in and out, day and night, and folk is taking it for granted. They want somebody to come from the dead and tell them, look, I've been in hell, and I saw the fornicators down there. I saw what's happening to them. I saw the dope dealers. I saw the prostitutes down here. I saw the homosexual and lesbian. I saw the adulterers down here, adulterers. The guys that are stealing, gossiping. They weren't that gossip before. The one that took advantage of their neighbors. The one who disobeyed their parents, their father and mother. I saw them down there. They want somebody to come back from hell to tell them when we are telling them now that so they don't have to go to hell. And then they get mad with us because they think that we don't care for them, that we don't like them because we are preaching the truth. I'm getting every day, I am getting these, because my skill is plumbing, heat, and air conditioning. And I can do electrical work and all that stuff. I was taught that when I was in school. And I learned a lot on the job sites. And I'm getting all of these, all this information every day. Apostle Calendar, we could use your skill. All of these companies are sending me invitations to come back and go to work. Come and go to work. Get a job. Well, I'm not really in need of a whole lot of stuff, you know. Like I said, I can live a whole week, month with little of no money. As long as I have some food and distilled water and so on, some herbs, you know, herbs to get the antioxidants out of the toxins out of my body, I'm fine. I'm not focused on being rich, even though I want the funds to come so I can help a lot of people and help my family. But I'm not focused on money. The rich man's last thought flashes to concern for the fate of his five brothers. He uttered a final cry to Abraham, begging him to send Lazarus to plead with his brothers, to heed his warning testimony. Why would we have to wait till we die to get a testimony? When God is saying, I have penned this, had this thing penned down for your examples. When we look and see what people happened to other people that was before us in the Word of God, why would we allow our flesh to lead us into that place of destruction? Because I still got some youth, and I still feel like my body is still telling me I could do this and I can do that. But what is God saying to you? What is God saying to us according to his commandments? Because we listen to that lie from the Catholic that tell you, well, you don't have to obey the commandments anymore because we are no longer under the law. We are under grace. Jesus said he didn't come to abandon the law, to abolish the law, or abandon the law, destroy the law. But he said he come to fulfill the law. The law still stands. People who steal and they go before the judge, they get locked up. People who kill and they go before the judge, they may be condemned to death or life sentence. People who rape, see, all this is in the law. Then you covet your neighbor's wife as ox, as ass, or anything as his. You stand a chance to go to prison for a long time. Take his stuff that don't belong to you. The law still stands. And people live, and they tell you that in the church, but you don't have to, because we're no longer under the law. And that's why you find people are fornicating and committing adultery, and they're right in the house of the Lord. They're right in the house. That's why he says, judgment is coming to the house first, to his house, not to the world. We are pointing fingers at the world because the world is doing things that is contrary to us. But God says here, the world may not be doing the things that you're doing. They may not be reading the Bible and studying the Bible, but you got the Bible and you know the truth, but you're not living the truth. You're not living the truth. And God is saying that we have to live the truth. If you don't live the truth, you will pay. And you will have a greater charge against you because you know. You know. I mean, folk are hearing this truth every day on Blog Talk Radio. Those that choose to come, hear it every day from somebody. And because you hear, we read the scripture this morning, that people will be judged out of the book of life and death. We read the scripture in Revelation chapter 20, that folk will be judged out of the book of the Lamb's book of life and death according to their works. So I don't think we're going to get escape. We're going to escape. Judgment is coming one way or another. But I want to be in the first resurrection. I don't want to be in the second or third resurrection. Because there's three resurrections. It's in the book. We talked about it a little bit about it this morning. Now, he asked Abraham to send Lazarus to plead with his brothers. Abraham replied that they had the writings of Moses and the prophets. The rich man, however, thinks his brothers will listen to one from the dead. You know, a lot of times when I go into a drug rehab center to share, and I share my testimony about how I was bitching out with that, people listen to me because they know that I'm testifying truth. What I have been through and my addiction. And they can see that I am standing before them clean and sober. No longer addicted to any type of mind altering substance. I'm addicted to God. I'm addicted to the gospel. But not to any mind altering substance. This is what he was begging Abraham to do, send Lazarus. Indicating that he was believe in the power of the resurrection. Abraham replied that if they would not allow the scriptures, they would certainly not be persuaded even by one raised from the dead. These final verses show that Jesus proposed. Jesus' purpose in giving the parable was to reveal the truth of the resurrection. All these scriptures tell us what happens where this parable leaves off. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 30. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 13 and 30. Matthew chapter 13 and 30. Glory to God. Let both grow. Jesus talking about the tear and the wheat. He said, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I would say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Now, this is like the sheep and the goat. We walk together. But he's going to tell the sheep, come over here on this side. And he can put the goats over on that side. Because why? They're going to be cast into outer darkness. The wheat is put in the barn so that the wheat can be transformed from just grain into flour. The tares are wrapped up and bind up, tied together, and thrown into the fire because they're good for nothing. People sometimes are acting like wheat, living like wheat. And some are living like tares. They're good for nothing. They have a lot of words and can do a lot of things in the natural. But their spiritual life does not speak holiness. This is why we got to live our lives to live again. I don't do a lot. My daughter, before she crossed over in 2017, she was 38. And she said to me, she said, Daddy, you don't do a lot. You get on that Blog Talk Radio church line and you preach and teach. Well, I clean the house. I cook, you know, wash the cars and stuff. I go to the store with my wife when I feel like, when the Lord let me go shopping with her. You know, I don't do a lot. Because my life now is dedicated to reaching souls for the kingdom, sharing the gospel. That's what my life is dedicated to. I'm not trying to raise a whole bunch of friends, you know. Because the first thing, once you get a whole bunch of them, they start talking about you behind your back. They say they love you. I'm not for that. I'm about reaching people and telling them about Jesus, and then let them make their own decision. Let the Holy Ghost convict them, and they make their own decision. The Holy Spirit will speak to people if we preach the gospel and teach the gospel. The gospel is powerful. It will convict them. That's why he said, let them go together. Let the wheat and the tares go together. Giving them a chance, because all the wheat, all the tares are not going to burn. Some is going to be converted. You understand what I'm saying? Because God can do the conversion. You say, but how does tares turn to wheat? God does it. Don't try to figure how he does it. How can you tell a wretched man like me to be a preacher? Sometimes I try to figure out how it happened. But God does it. A one who cussed like a drunken sinner, who used to cuss like a drunken sinner, who drank so much alcohol and smoked so much dope. But God changed it. I was a tear before, but now I'm weak. I'm weak. Matthew 13 and 30 speaks symbolically of the wicked being gathered into bundles to be burnt. Matthew 3 and 12 because of John's warning to the Pharisees that they would be burned up ashamed if they do not repent. They are to be burned in a fire so hot that no amount of water could put it out, because the flames would turn the water into steam. And I know what that is, because I install steam boilers. And I know it gets so hot that you can't even touch the pipe. And that steam travels a million miles in a second up the pipes. That's how fast the steam goes. And as it gets up there, it turns back to water and come back down the pipe, back into the boiler, and goes up another pipe. Steam. Matthew 3:12 recalls John's warning to the Pharisees. They are to be burned in a fire. In a fire so hot that no amount of water, can you imagine that? You were thinking that if water is coming, that you'll be all right, that you'll get cooled down. No, not in hellfire. Hellfire, there's no water can cool it. No water can cool it. I preach a message on Blog Talk here, that hell is so hot, there's not a drop of water. Hell is so hot, not a drop. Then God punishes the wicked, the fire will be unquenchable. This does not mean, however, that it will not burn itself out when it has no more combustible material to burn. An unquenchable fire cannot be put out, but it can burn itself out when it has consumed everything. Malachi 4:1. And verse 3 also speaks of this fire, reporting the end of the wicked. There will be ashes and smoke. Psalm 37:20. Now. In this, Jesus is speaking, Jesus is preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. An inheritance of the kingdom of God on this earth. Jesus teaches that if we refuse to hear Moses and the prophets, if we refuse to believe the inspired written word of God, we have no hope of salvation. All scriptures, the whole Bible containing both the Old and New Testament, is profitable for doctrine and instruction in receiving the gifts of salvation. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Hallelujah. Let us go somewhere else here. Glory to God. We are talking about living your life to live again. In order to live our life to live again, there's some things and many things that we're going to have to give up. Do you understand what I'm saying? Satan has said that you shall not surely die. Satan has said. Now in the book of Genesis 3:4, we talked about this in some other sermon. Satan in the garden, he is a liar and the father of lies, and he was and is the father of lies from the beginning. Here in the Garden of Eden, he's speaking with Eve, and he said to Eve, you shall not surely die. Verse 5 says, for God knows that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You know, a lot of preachers preach this thing, but they say, we are little gods. No, we're not little gods. He said, you shall be as gods. That means knowing the truth, knowing good and evil. knowing the truth and knowing lies. So when expanded, it claims that we are already immortal. So death has no real hold over us. This is what Satan says. This idea proposed at the very beginning has spread throughout history. Mainstream Christianity calls it the doctrine of the immortality of the soul. While various Eastern religions contain it in belief such as reincarnation. Whatever it marker, the belief that human beings possesses a spiritual, eternally conscious, imperishable component is a major tenet of nearly every religion throughout man's history. In all modern culture, books and movies abound with examples of the spirits of the dead hovering around the living characters, giving them comfort, aid, and encouragement. It is taken as given that death is not the end. Somehow, one conscious spirit will live on when the physical body perishes. The Gnostics believe in the dualism of flesh and spirit, with the flesh being evil and sometimes to be freed from, while the eternal spirit was good. Also originated in the lies Satan told Eve. Gnostics in general believed that the purpose of human existence was to return to the spiritual realm from which all originated. Death then was seen as liberation from the spirit. First, consider how this belief affects a person's attitude and way of life. We are talking about living your life to live again. When Satan undermines the death penalty for disobedience, in addition, the sowing further distrust, in addition to sowing further distrust in what God says, he also blunted one of the keenest elements of human motivation, continued self-preservation. If life beyond the grave is assured, how this life is lived makes little difference. It is like guaranteeing a college freshman that he will receive a doctorate degree regardless of whether anything is learned. Any work is done, any classes are attended, or any tuition is paid. While the student indeed expend some effort, the motivation to apply himself or herself wholeheartedly to his education will be substantially weakened. It would be so easy to slack off and postpone catching up to some time next week. After all, if the goal is certain, why worry about the details in the meantime? You see, Satan make you feel like you don't have to worry about living holy. You don't have to worry about obeying what God says, because after you leave this world, you're still going to be living anyway, because you're not going to die, because your spirit man lives forever. Well, the spirit may continue for a while, but it's going to be, if you're not obeying God, if you're not following God's instructions, your spirit man will be tormented forever. Every second. There's no night or day. So every second, you can say of the day, of the night, however you want to say, you will be in torment. Spiritually, the result is the same. If one already has immortality and is eternally saved, there is no pressing reason to resist the pulls of carnality. Resisting Satan's matters little. Devoting one's life to growing and overcoming has no urgency. Sin is no big deal. Why should one study to come to know God and his truth? Believing that one already possesses eternal life removes the urgency to live according to the desires and requirements of the Creator. At best, all that remains is the vague guidance of just be a good person. One moment, one young girl was talking to, she was talking to an evangelist that came to the school. And the evangelist asked her a very simple question. He says, do you believe you're a good person? And she said, yes, I believe I'm a good person. I treat people good. I want people to treat me good. He said, do you lie? And she gazed a little bit, looked like she was looking in the ear. And she said, yes, I lied. He says, have you ever stolen? She shook her head. Why did he ask me this? She said, yes, I have stolen many things. Have you ever blasphemed against God? She didn't want to say nothing. He said, have you ever blasphemed against God? She said, yes, I have. He says, have you ever had sex before marriage? And she said, yes. Well, he said, that means that you are lying, stealing, blaspheming, and the last one. But he called up the four or five things out. You know, a lot of times we would think that because that we give to the, we do a lot of work for the kingdom. And we will put ourselves on a pedestal that we are perfect or that we have it together. And we will be, Satan will even use that on you, on us, that, well, you do so much, you don't have to worry. If you just go over here and do a little bit of this over here, you'll still be all right. And it's a life from the pit of hell. Because once we slip off from being walking for God and walking with God and slip to doing what Satan's required us or enticed us to do, guess what happened? We're en route to hell. If we don't repent and turn, we are en route to hell. Satan wants to make you feel that you are a good person. You're all right. You give to the widows. You give to the fatherless. You give to the motherless. You give to the homeless. You give to the orphans. When time comes, you go into your closet and you take out your old shoes or, shoes that don't fit you or not in style, but they still look nice. They don't have any scratches. The new suits, your dresses and stuff that are too tight for you because you put on some weight, especially with this pandemic. People are putting on weight. I put on some. And we pick up some stuff and we give away. And we say, well, I've just did a good deed. We're sending money to Africa. We're sending money to India. And we boast about, oh, we're doing all this. But where's your heart with your neighbor? Even with your children? Even with some of your co-workers? Where is your heart? Are you having some malice in your heart? Jealousy in your heart? Backbiting in your heart? Are you still gossiping about your preacher friend? Your long-time girlfriend or boyfriend that you haven't seen, are you still talking negative about them? Because it don't seem like they're walking like you're walking. You don't like the style of preaching because you think you're a better preacher than them. So you cut them down. But all that stuff that you just did, we just did for the poor and the widows and the orphans, can't get you into heaven when you still got all this stuff bagging behind that we can't let go of. The Bible teaches that there can be life after death through the resurrection from the dead. Eternal life is ours only if God supplies it, and not because we possess the immortal soul. God tells us, behold, all souls are mine. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4. All souls, the soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. He said the soul who sins shall die. The emphasis here, ours throughout, God repeats this in Ezekiel 18 and 20. He clearly it's possible for a soul to die. God says the soul that sinneth shall die. That means that the soul that sinneth have not repented has no part in his kingdom. It has no part with God. So what we are calling for is for us to repent. He said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not hear, shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him. Listen. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. See, you can't save your son or your daughters from hell. They have to repent for them, their own soul, and they have to turn to Jesus for their soul, for their soul salvation. That's what Paul says, work out. We need to work on our own soul salvation with fear and trembling. What is fear and trembling is? That you're scared? No. That you reverence God. You reverence the authority, the power that God has over your life. That he's the one who can condemn you or condemn us to hell or allow us to enter into heaven with him. Heaven is a place of joy. No tears, no death, no sickness. It's a place of rejoicing. It's a place where our life gives him all the glory, all the worship, all the honor that's due to his name. The angels are worshiping him all day long. Paul instructs us in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Not eternal life. Not even eternal life in ever-burning hell. In hell, there's no living person. I want you to understand. There's no living spirits in hell. These are spirits that are being tormented. Even though dead, they're still being tormented. Do you hear what I'm saying? I hear people and see people, white, black, yellow, all nationalities running around with satanic signs and has tattoos of Satan upside down cross on their bodies and 666 mark on their arm and forehead and all this stuff and on their cheekbone and all this stuff. They have these markings, they believe it and say they can't wait to go to hell. What a grand time they're going to have. Well, the Bible don't tell me that. The Bible don't tell me that they're going to be a party in hell. The Bible talks about tormented, being tormented day and night, constantly. without any breaks. That's what the Bible talks about. But we want to sit around and don't want to hear the truth. Don't want to live it. We got a little bit more to do. I'm going to do another part. I'll do a part two of this, I believe. I'll do a part two of the Lord said the same. And we'll be here. So let's listen. In Ezekiel chapter 18, incurs the death penalty. Satan, though, would have us believe that since death is not a real threat, sin is no big deal. It is only because of God's grace that we are not struck down immediately, not because of any inherent immortality within us, as the rest of Romans 6:23 explains. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He said that the wages of sin is death. If you sin, you will die. But the gift of God is eternal life to Jesus Christ our Lord. When we repent, he gives us life. The spirit man that was on the chopping block now has life. The body is going to die. But the spirit man has life now that it can, if it continue in the path of righteousness, it stands a great opportunity, great chance of having a heavenly body for that spirit. Do you hear me? Oh, my God, my God, my God. Now, as we read here before, that the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal life is a gift, not an inborn quality. It's not in us. All of us was conceived in sin, born in sin. We didn't come out of there with this inborn quality of eternal life that we can skip through the tulips like we nothing happened. Yes, it's in you from your foreparents, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. We came out the womb with that sin in us. That's why, you know, you don't have to teach little kids to lie. They start lying. Mommy, I didn't do that. Ain't nobody tell them. They know they did something wrong. They said, no, I didn't do it when Susie did it. Well, he know, John know he did it. He said, no, I didn't do it. Susie did it. In 1 Timothy 6:16 says that God alone has immortality. Not any member of the human race, Christians included. Let's read it verbatim. 1 Timothy. Oh, man, I was studying this scripture last night. And because I like to go in the Logos and the NLT and the Amplified and the Messenger. But I was looking at this last night, and it was so beautiful. I'm telling you, it was so beautiful in the Logos. But the Lord just let me go right through to see. I got my teaching right here. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 16. This is what he says. Who only have immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Now, he went back up here in verse 15. He says, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only penitent, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He began to talk about it. Paul began to speak about this one that carries the full presence of heaven. He is God all by himself. He is the immortal one. Death could not hold him captive. Hallelujah. The grave has been denied. He's the only immortal one. We talked about that yesterday. People believe that the stone was rolled away for Jesus to come on. No, it was rolled away for the world to see that he's not there. He's not there. No. In Romans 2 and 7, we got some scripture to give because we know people ain't going to respond anyway, so that's all right. That's all right with me. We don't mind. We getting the word in. He says, oh, my God. Let's go up to verse 1. Ah, Lord, I just got to get some of this in here. This is good. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou art condemnest. Thou condemnest thyself. Now, this is why we don't point fingers at people. Deacon Fraser said that some time back. When you point a finger at people, you got four pointing back at you. A lot of times we are, Jesus talked about in the man with the mote in his eye. He's pointing the mote at, his brother's eye, trying to pick out the force of his brother. That's what he was talking about. He said, why take the mote out of your brother's eye when you have a plank in your eye? Take the plank out of your eyes first, then you'll be able to see to take the mote out of your brother's eye. So what happened is a lot of times that we are pointing our fingers at others and trying to condemn and put on us, while at the same time, I know one guy used to talk about to all these people, and at the same time, he was stealing. He was stealing. And when he was arrested and the police came to his house and bust down the door and brought him out the door, he had all these handcuffs and chained around his waist. Everybody was looking at him, and people were amazed because they thought that he was such a nice guy. But he was a habitual criminal behind closed doors, committing all type of heinous crime. See, this is why we don't point fingers. We talk about stuff because the Bible says that we have to protect the sheep. And if there's ones that have sheep clothing on, we have to expose them. Because we don't want the sheep to be eaten. We don't want the sheep to be destroyed. But we pray for the wolves that someday the wolves will really come out the sheep clothes and become real sheep. You understand? But you got to expose them. Jesus did it. The apostles did it. We got to do it. We can't be in agreement with sin. We can't be in agreement with cookery and trickery. Listen to what he says. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. See, if we're going to judge somebody, it's got to be according to God's word, not to our feelings, not to how we think. Hallelujah. The Bible says that we should even judge angels. Hallelujah. But we can't walk around because somebody just cut them down. It's got to be according to God's word. According to God's word. And then he says, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgeth them which do such things, and doeth the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? How can I talk about thieves and homosexuals and lesbians and prostitution and the fornicators and adulterers when I'm doing the same thing? Guess what? I have to face the judgment. You have to face the judgment. We have to look at ourselves first. Hallelujah. If we are gossiping every chance we get, how can we talk about people that are gossiping? This line should be filled with people this morning with a word like this. Oh, he says, and do it the same, that thou shalt escape. You think that you shall escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. So we have to share that word of God. I put a word on computer this morning early. He woke me up. We're going to judge with love. Correction is judging. You know that, right? And so we're going to correct with love, godly love. Godly correction leads to repentance. So we say godly sorrow. But when you begin to love on people and correct them in love, they're going to repent. Because love covers a multitude of sin. So when we show the love of Christ, people begin to want to get in that lifeline. They will take that lifeline. That's the lifeline. Live your life to live again. So give them a lifeline. Don't point your finger at them and cut them down and pull them down. That's what I got a lot more scripture to give, but I'm going to give you a little bit more this here. And I got this going up here on my computer right now. He said, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. See, when we begin to be harsh and treat people with contempt. Now, when we begin to come to people the way like we don't have a heart at all, guess what? When the day of judgment comes, all this stuff is going to come up because it's being written down. You know, I ask God to help me every night, every day. Don't let me treat somebody the way that I don't want to be treated. And if, Lord, if I ever make a move and you see that got to come over to me, Lord, don't let it come forth. Why? Because I want to win a soul. The Bible says he that winneth souls is wise. So I want to win a soul. I want them to say, I want to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now, who will render to every man according to his deeds? Jesus Christ is God. He's going to give you your reward, whether good or bad, for all your deeds you're going to be charged with. If you do good, you're going to get paid good. If you do bad, you're going to get paid bad. It says in verse 7, says, to them who by patience continues in well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. No. See, if you continue doing good, guess what's coming? You're going to get a reward of glory and honor and immortality, everlasting life. Right? Why would I want to do this? Once I see this and get this, I said, God, this is what I want. You know? I don't want to get stuff so people on the earth can say, well, he got all that stuff. Man, he got this, he got that. Man, that stuff going to fade away. You're going after stuff that's going to perish. The thieves and the mouse going to eat it up. Go take it. Man, go after stuff that's going to last a lifetime, going to last forever. That's the stuff we got to go after. We're seeking stuff to make us look good in this earthly realm. Now, this I said, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed, for the corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50 to 54. Now, it is not until the last trumpet, when Jesus Christ returns that the dead will be resurrected and given immortality. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 16. At this time, the saints will be changed and given new spiritual bodies. Ha-ha. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 49. And 1 John 3 and 2. Clearly, immortality is not given until the resurrection from the dead, which does not take place until Jesus returns. So we have to live this life. Live this life. This godly life, this righteous life, this holy life, this life that gives God glory while we're here in this earthly realm. With expectation, with hope that when he comes, he will receive us to himself. Do you hear me today? Ha. That God must resurrect a person. No, no, no. Immortality is not given until the resurrection from the dead, which does not take place until Jesus Christ returns. That God must resurrect a person from him, for him to continue living, means that he retains sovereignty. He is not obliged to grant eternal life to anyone who demonstrates, wants, he has the opportunity to know God, that he is not willing to be subject to his way of life. However, by belittling the truth about the resurrection from the dead and telling people that they already have immortality, Satan can distract them from a basic reason why they need to listen to God, so that they may be resurrected and continue living. Satan's objective is to hinder people from hearing the truth. This is where this line is not full today. Satan's basic objective is to hinder folk from fellowshipping. This is where this line is not full today. The ultimate fate of the wicked will be total annihilation. Body, mind, and spirit will be utterly destroyed. They will cease to exist. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 1. Now in the parable of Lazarus and the rich man, Luke chapter 16 verse 19 and 31, that's where we come from. And we went to Revelation chapter 20 verse 4 to 6. And then verse 11 to 15. Now, in this parable of Lazarus and the rich man, the latter, a heartless person, it speaks to Lazarus while being tormented in the flame. This alludes to the wicked being cremated when God burns up the earth, turning it into the final Gehenna, called elsewhere the lake of fire. The rich man is raised out of his grave at the end of God's plan for humanity on earth. Because the dead knows nothing, he does not realize the passage of time, the passage of time. But he certainly realizes that he has failed to receive salvation. He sees a great gulf fixed between him and those who are with Abraham in the kingdom of God. At this point, it is impossible for anyone to change his faith. Now, I want you to understand that while we are teaching and preaching these kind of messages, that we all ought to be examining, just hear what it says, we all ought to be examining our own salvation. Is it real? Do we really have it? Are we really living it? Or are we compromising it? In Luke chapter 16, verse 19 to 31, it appears the parable of Lazarus and the rich man, which Jesus spoke to those who would not repent. Jesus uses it to help them understand his earlier words, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourself trust them. Luke chapter 13, St. Luke, verse 28 and 27. In the parable, the rich man representing all workers of iniquity, all sinners, illustrate what is to befall the unrepentant. The wicked will be raised to physical life in their resurrection, and then immediately, knowing that they are doomed, they will be cast into the lake of fire designed by God to consume them. The lake of fire will burn them up completely and finally. Jesus pictures the rich man crying out for help because of his mental and physical anguish at this time. But he is not burning eternally in hell. He is not burning eternally in hellfire. He is soon consumed with Lazarus. He is soon consumed while Lazarus, the beggar, dwells safely in immortality. In this same chapter, Luke 16, 19 to 31, in the parable of Lazarus and the rich man, Luke 16, 19 to 31, Jesus illustrates death, total unconsciousness as being followed by a resurrection from the dead and a restoration to consciousness. Secondly, Jesus describes the second death, eternal death. In the lake of fire that will totally destroy the wicked, the wages of sin is death, not endless torment. Jesus shows that the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear the voice of God and come forth. Those who have lived righteously to the resurrection of life, and those who have lived wickedly, including the rich man, to the resurrection of condemnation. John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. We need to understand how vital it is to hear and submit to God's voice now. In Luke chapter 16, verse 22 and 23. Jesus does not say the rich man is taken immediately to an eternal burning hell. He says the rich man dies and is burnt, and is buried. Listen to what Jesus says. People are buried in a grave and covered with earth or dirt. Hades. Verse 23. In the Greek word for grave, the King James Version generically translate Hades into hell, as it also does the Greek words Tartarus, the present condition of darkness and restraint of the fallen angels of demons or demons, and Gehenna, a place at the bottom of a high ledge at the south end of Jerusalem where garbage and dead bodies were dumped and burn. Other Bibles translations correctly distinguish the different meaning in these words. The rich man went to the same kind of place Jesus did when he died. Hell. King James Version. Or Hades. New King James Version. But the Father did not leave him there. Acts chapter 2, verse 31 and 32. Daniel chapter 12 and 2 speaks of those who will be resurrected to eternal life, the just, and of those who will be resurrected to damnation or judgment, the unjust. In the parable, Jesus speaks of two different separations, two different separate resurrections. John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, Acts chapter 24, verse 15, Revelation chapter 20, verse 4 and 5, and Revelation chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Jesus pictured the rich man as wicked and lost, but even he will open his eyes and rise from the grave after the millennium, having passed up his opportunity for immortality by choosing this world's temporary material riches and pleasures rather than eternal spiritual riches, he is without hope, doomed to perish in the lake of fire. The parable of Lazarus and the rich man shows the resurrection from the dead, not an instantaneous going to heaven or hell. It is a resurrection from death, not from life. It depicts mortals who die and are dead, not immortals who never lose consciousness and live forever under punishment in a fiery hell. Jesus described bringing back to life one who was dead, who had no conscious realization of the lapse of centuries and millennia since his death. Now in Romans chapter 6 and 23, Paul says that a wage is payment for work. Death then is what we earn as a result of committing sin. This is not eternal life in hell, but death. The complete annihilation of one's life. God offers eternal life to those who are willing to meet his conditions. Therefore, salvation being delivered from the consciousness of sin is receiving the gift of eternal life. Though some think not that we already have an immortal soul, the Bible makes it plain that the only way we can receive eternal life is to receive it as God's gift. In First Peter chapter 2, verse 22 and 23. First Peter chapter 2, verse 20. The term awful arose out of the Middle Ages, invented to signify the ever-burning hell. Those many people in the world believed then and still believe this ever-burning hell was awful. Awful describes people's feelings about being cast into that place. The truth is that there is no ever-burning hell. Is there anything, any situation, any circumstance that is truly awful? What is the most awful thing that has ever happened on earth? The most awful thing that ever happened on earth was the murder of God in the flesh. Absolutely, totally innocent, vulnerable. He was a lamb led to the slaughter.
and he allowed them to kill him without defending himself. Our Creator, put to death, was the worst thing that could ever happen on earth. How does anything that has ever happened to us measure up against that? Think about it. This is why God points to this example. Christ did not revile. He kept his mouth shut. He committed himself by faith to him that judges righteously. Revelation chapter 20, verse 13 to 5. The third resurrection, remember I told you there's three resurrections. The third resurrection was comprised those, the third resurrection will comprise those who are unwilling to live by God's laws and refuse to repent. Those incorruptible people will be cast into the lake of fire and completely burned up. They can never be resurrected again. Having rejected God's wonderful offer of salvation and eternal life. This is the word of God for us today. We minister to you today for how to live your life to live again. And to live your life to live again, or live our life to live again, first thing we have to do is repent and submit our life completely to God. We have to give God our complete attention. Not your wife, not your husband, not your children, not your boss, not your co-workers, not any of your family members. Some people put their children before doing stuff for God. But God has to be first. I've had times where I had to go and preach, and my wife says, you want me to do this, I'll do that. I said, baby, I can't do that. Because I have a word and I have a commission from God that I have to go out and I got to reach somebody that don't know God. And I have to tell them my story. See, because my story is my greatest preach. You know, the Bible is great, but my story, what he has done for me at Calvary, how he delivered me, is my greatest preach word, my testimony. So I have to go out, and that's why a lot of times I bring in some bits and pieces. I tell somebody, somebody would say, that's your wife. I didn't have it till God gave it to me. She would belong to God first. God give it to me. So, but I have to know that my assignment is for God, not for my wife. My assignment is to do God's will. Apart from that, my other assignment is to love her and love my family. But my assignment to God, for God first, is to God first. I must do this. Don't care how I'm feeling. This morning I got up, my throat was inflamed. It's not inflamed now. You can hear the voice coming out of me. It's not inflamed now because once I decide, I say, okay, Lord, I'm getting on here. I'm going to do this thing, and I'm going to get this word, and I put what I need to put on there. I'm going to do a part two of this. When the Lord deliver me to come back. Hallelujah. And next time I come back, we'll talk about, hallelujah, let me see. Next time when I come back on this, we'll talk about true Jesus. We talk about the fire. We talk with Pablo. We will talk about, they'll go in and talk about the wheat and the chaff. The wheat and the chaff and the symbol of the fire. We're going to talk about that. The wheat and the chaff and the symbol of the fire. Okay? This is what we want to get. Because this fire that's in hell and this fire that's going to be in the lake of fire and brimstone is real. A lot of people is taking it as a joke. Yeah, we've been hearing that for as long as I've been here on earth. I've been 40, 50, 60 years, and I've been hearing people talking about the lake of fire and brimstone and God coming back. And I don't see him come back yet, but look, he's not coming back on the preacher's time. He's not coming back because the bishop says so. He's not coming back because the pastor says so. He's coming back because he says so. He's coming back for his church. The church is his bride. He is the bridegroom. He's coming back for his church, and he's coming back on his own time. He set the time. He said, not even the angels don't know. Not even the angels don't know what time he's coming. So So don't go praying asking the angels or asking Abraham or Isaac or Israel what time he's coming back. They don't even know. The apostles don't know what time he's coming back. The heavenly hosts don't know when he's coming back. What we got to do is that we got to live our life in a way that if we show up now or the next hour, the next minute, we'll be prepared. If he called me out of this world to be with him right now, my heart is ready to be with him. I don't have no fear about it. I don't have no fear about leaving this world. You understand? And that is the honest to God truth. I don't have no fear about leaving here. Because I'm making a decision. I've made a decision that I'm going to live every hour, every minute that I have to please him. You understand? So we're going to do this prayer of salvation. Mother Grant is on the line. And then we'll let her come in and read her reading. Father God, we thank you and praise you for this word that you have given us today. And we pray, oh God, that you have sent, you allow your word to go forth over the airways. And that we will pray that someone would hear this word and this word would draw them closer to you in the mighty name of Jesus. The Bible says here, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The world is not the America, not Canada, is not the Caribbean, is not this. It's the people. The people is the world. That's why Jesus came. He didn't come to save the land. He didn't come to save the mountains or the oceans or the hills or the valleys. He came to save the people. The people were in sin and is in sin. So because of his blood that was shed at Calvary, the people have an opportunity. The world has an opportunity if they will repent and ask him to forgive them and open their hearts and allow him to come in. He would come in and he would change their life like he changed ours and is changing ours. So the Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 15 and 16 and so on, he says, verse 15 says, that whosoever believes in him, talking about Jesus, shall not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. See, salvation is through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the door. He is the pathway to the Father. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and that men loveth darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought of God. See, we go out, we don't matter. We go because we know that what we are doing is of God. It's of God. The Bible says in Romans 3 and 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All, A-double-S, that means you and me. All of us has and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible also says that in Romans 6 and 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you sin, your wage, as we speak in the message, the wage for your sinning or the payment for your sinning is death. But guess what? If you repent and give your heart, give your life over to Jesus, you will have a different reward. You will have the gift of life. Hallelujah. You will have the gift of life. Jesus will give you the gift of life. He will give you another opportunity to develop a relationship with him and with the Father. Hallelujah. Not only that would he will give the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in Acts 2 and 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord or God shall call. And with many, many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation or crooked generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And there continue steadfastly in the apostle doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in praise. And fear came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. And Acts 4:12 said, let's verse 10 says, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel. John is talking to all the people. He is probably talking to a crowd right now, the crusade. And he says, be it known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him, did this man stand here before you whole. Now Peter and them was going into the temple, and the temple, and as they entered the gate, there was a man there at the gate, and they healed it. This man was got healed. Peter said, in the name of Jesus Christ, arise. And he helped the man up, and the man, the Bible said that he began walking and leaping and praising God, and he followed them into the temple. So Peter said, well, man, John and I, we prayed for this man, and he received the gift of healing. He received his healing. No, he said, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one you crucified. Hallelujah. The one you denied, the one you condemned to death, is the reason why this man is standing here holding. He says, this is the one which was set at naught of you. This is the one that was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corn. See, they didn't recognize him, didn't care for him. He was like nothing to them. That's the way to treat Jesus. He said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given among there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we may be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You know, some of us haven't had the opportunity to go to college or even high school. But what God has given us through revelation, many people have gone to college and high school, have not get it, have not received it. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of works, for it is a gift of God. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus did not say he was one of the ways, but he said he was the way. A lot of people are preaching that there are many ways, but there's only one way. That way is Jesus, and we got to stay connected. You must accept Jesus as your only Savior. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Acts 16:31. Jesus said, behold, I'm coming quickly. He's coming quick. He's coming like a thief in the night. No one knows the day, the hour. No one knows what time he's going to show up. But what we have to do is that we have to repent, and we have to confess our sins. Hallelujah. The Bible says that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. Hallelujah. He's in right position. He's in right standing. Hallelujah. To set us free. 1 John 1:1-9. You understand? Glory to God. In Mark 16:15-17, and 18, he says, Jesus said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it should not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. You need to be baptized. Baptism is part of your salvation. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I give you those scriptures quick, and I pray that you heard them, because the service got to go on. We have to continue doing the prayer of salvation. We have to continue preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. Pray for those that are not here today, and pray for those that will listen later. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you and praise you for the prayer of salvation.
And we pray that if there's one today that's out there listening by via Blog Talk Radio, cell phone, iPad, what do you call it, tablets, whatever they're listening by, satellite, screwed up, wind up radio, however they're listening, Lord, we pray that they might give their heart to you. They heard the word. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, take this opportunity right now and just repeat after me. But believe in your heart first. Believe in your heart. Know that you are a sinner. And come to him like David said. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe, according to scriptures in Romans, says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes in him shall not be ashamed. That is Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11. Now, if you believe that, Jesus was crucified on a hill called the Skull or Golgotha. It's the same place, has many names. But if you believe that he was crucified on that hill called Calvary, that's the name that most of us go by. If you believe that in your heart, that he died there for you, and regardless of what sin you were committing, that you may have committed just now, minutes ago, if you believe that Jesus died to cleanse you and deliver you and set you free from your sin, and that his blood will make you whole again, and you confess him right now as your Lord and Savior, you say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. All that I have done, Lord, I believe that you died on Calvary for my sins. And today I'm denouncing Satan and all of his agents. And I come to you today as I've heard the word with expectation. I don't want to go in that fire that the preacher was talking about, in the lake of fire and brimstone. I don't want to end up there, Lord. I want to be with you. So today I acknowledge you as Lord and as of Savior. I believe that you died for my sins, and I also believe, Jesus, that you're the only one that can give me eternal life. So today I turn away from my lifestyle and this world system, and I come to you with open hearts, knowing that you're the only one that can save me and fill my heart with the love that I need. Jesus, I receive you now as my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. If you just said that prayer and you believe in your heart, you have just received the gift of salvation. But the Bible also said there's another part to salvation. We recommend that you get a Bible and study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts, so that you will have a gospel understanding of the Savior, our Savior, that we preach, we love to talk about, the one that gave us eternal life. Get a Bible and begin to study. And then you can go back to Genesis and come all the way down to Revelation. But when you open that Bible, ask the Holy Ghost that Peter was talking about in the book of Acts, that we know as our comforter, as our keeper. Ask him to give you understanding, a revelation, a knowledge, give you wisdom of the word of God, like Solomon, King Solomon asked for. Ask him to give you wisdom and understanding. Ask him to make the word plain to you. And guess what happened? You'll begin to see the word the way God shows you, the way it is, alive and quick, sharpen it to a sword. Now call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone that know how to baptize in the name of Jesus. And tell them, so that pastor, preacher, or so that I received the gift of salvation. You don't even got to mention my name. Since I received the gift of salvation and I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, tell them that you are studying the word of God and you're getting a better understanding. But you want to seal your salvation openly before your friends that you're going to invite, your friends, your family, your co-workers, and if you're working, and even your enemies. Why we say enemies? Because this is a great time in your life. You want your enemy to see. You want them to see what God has done for you, what he's doing for you. Hallelujah. And you tell the preacher that you want to be baptized in Jesus' name, because everybody baptized the way they want to. But don't let that be a hindrance to you. You know, you say, well, if they say, well, we don't baptize in Jesus' name, say, well, thank you, sir. I'll get back in touch with you. Don't leave there cussing the pastor out, going back into your old self and that kind of stuff. But leave there on a good note, because you know God might cause you to be one of the preachers in that church. He may use you at that church to glorify his name. You know what I'm saying? So leave on a good note and say, well, I'll get back in touch with you once I get my friends and family together to invite them to baptism. I will get back in touch with you. But search for a church or a preacher where they would baptize you in Jesus' name, because it's your salvation. It's not the preacher's salvation. You're the one that have to give an account for your own salvation. Paul tells you that. So, and when you get baptized, you go down in that, we call it liquid grave. You're going down there telling the world that you're dying to self. You're dying to the world. That's what your baptism says. Baptism speaks. It says that I'm no longer belongs to myself, and I'm dying to the world. So you're going down in that watery grave and dying just like Jesus died in the grave, but he came up out that grave alive. Physical body died, but his divine body could not die. His spiritual divine body could not die. He came up out of that grave. And when you come up out of that grave, that the baptism pool, maybe at the river, the lake, or wherever you got baptized, look for a church that is preaching and teaching the gospel. Because everybody's not preaching it. Some people are preaching prosperity. You can have this and have that and all this stuff, but they're not preaching for you to live holy so you can end up in heaven and not go to hell. Find a church that's preaching the gospel and get yourself involved. Once you get in the church and become part of the body of Christ, ask the pastor, the bishop, whoever the leadership, what can I do to help the church to continue to move forward? You know, I started in the church as a janitor, because I was a plumber, heating and cooling air conditioned technician. I started cleaning the bathrooms because I wanted to do something. I didn't know no scripture. I didn't know how to preach nothing. I couldn't remember no scripture, you know. But I started studying the scriptures and going over. That's what studying means, going over and over so I could retain the scriptures. And then the time they're going to ordain me as a minister. Then another bishop ordained me as a pastor, and only continue getting ordained. But you have to do something. You don't want to be a spectator. You want to be a participator. So you're going to do something. If you got to pick up the trash from off the lot to make around the church look clean, because it's God's house, you know, you want to do that. You should pick up the cigarette butts and all that stuff. We had a little thing stick with like a pin on the end, a nail on the end. We have to stick the cigarette and put it in a bag. Cigarette packaging, beer cans, and okay, no, people have thrown that stuff on the property and be thrown in trash, and that was recorded for me, of me. When the pastor said I was doing all them things, they said, "Well, I was interested," so I got ordained in ministry to preach the gospel. So keep on clipping on. Thank God for all those that received the gift of salvation, and those few four people that come on today to hear the word. We thank God for you. We really do thank God for you. And just to see you there on the line, even though you may not respond, it encouraged me that, not that I'm going to stop either way, because even if people don't show up, I'm still going to bring forth the word. You hear what I'm saying? I'm still going to bring the word. Hallelujah. Why? Because this is the assignment. This is an assignment from God. I'm not in and out. I'm not in and out. I don't have that kind of spirit. You either got to be in or out. That's what Satan tricking the people with. You don't have to follow Jesus. You see in the scripture, we share that today. He told him you don't have to believe that stuff. You got immortality. He making the people think that, well, you don't have to repent. You don't have to live holy because you immortal. You got immortality. You know, you got this thing together. Ain't nobody born with immortality. We born in sin, and we have to be revived. We have to revive. We have to let Jesus revive us and change us. So we thank you all for receiving the gift of salvation. Now, Mother Grant, you can come on in and say your reading, and then we'll open the line if anybody wants to respond. If not, we'll pray and close out, and the line be back here open tomorrow.
Good morning to everybody. I miss you all.
Good morning, Mother.
God bless everybody on the line. But I've been going to, I had a family member, the lady who had her daughter who just passed away. She was here. She came to go see a chiropractor, so I was around with her. The niece, my niece that passed away, and now her husband, the daddy had a stroke. I think I did say he had a stroke, and he's in the hospital. It's been a month now. Now he can't talk anything. The doctor tell her that she need to put him in a nursing home. But she says she's going to take him home and, you know, get somebody to help take care of him because he can't walk or talk. And they putting a feeding tube in him because he's not eating. So keep her in prayer, the Kinglock family. Yeah, that's my niece, stepfather, and her mother. So she came over because her back, she went to a chiropractor, so I was around with her. And me, myself, you know, I'm feeding the homeless. I fell down, Lord have mercy, trying to get in my car. Then I went with all this food for them. They was telling me the police run them. So the lady was there telling me where to go. So I'm getting back in my hold up on the thing in the car, which you hold on to get in the car. Oh, and then I grabbed that to get up in my car because my car's kind of high. I land down on the ground, on my back, my head, in a puddle of water. Oh, Jesus, I say, Lord, what is this? I did trying to get up. Nobody, the only one lady, and, you know, she homeless. She out of it, so nobody, they ain't say nothing. So anyway, I crawl around until I get back in the car, soaking wet. So I went to the other place. And I just give them all the food until that the men who I was soaking wet, they couldn't move. I give them all the food. So I didn't find the homeless people till the next day. I try and went out and I find them where they was and take food for them. So to God be the glory. And I was aching and painful and then venting out with her. I'm painful at night. You know, God is good. I give him all the thanks, all the praises to him. Amen. He'll keep me in prayer. My reading is say, Our Risen Hope. If this is one of God's game, I don't want to play anymore, she said. You think God play games with us? I asked. I fought long and hard to survive breast cancer. I trust God all the way through, and now it is back, and I'm done. I dump into her at one of my favorite coffee spots. She introduced herself as someone who heard me speak a couple of years previously. And she asked if I had time for coffee. We talked for a long time that day. I asked if I could pray for her before she left, and she declined. Point. I watched as she slipped out the door and stepped into the rain. I pray for her anyway. I pray for her to find hope. It's a terrible thing to lose hope. Some of us are there right now. Some of us have broken bodies. Some have broken heart. And some of us never imagined we would be in a place like this, doubling, struggling, wondering, why God seems to have stopped listening to us and stopped loving us. Reading through Matthew Gospel, and this morning I came to this. Then Judas, who has betrayed Jesus, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned and 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elderly. I have sinned, he said, for I have betrayed incontinent blood. What is that to us? They reply. That's your responsibility. So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. Matthew 27:3-5. Oh, Judas, if only you could have waited for 3 more days. Yes, you would have been in agony on Friday, but on Sunday morning, you have seen hope risen from the dead. I don't know what you face now, friend, but I do know that while we may lose a few battles on earth, we will become Jesus, because of Jesus, win the war. Don't despair. On Sunday morning, hope rose from the dead. 5 minutes in the Word. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new hope into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter 1:3. Lord, lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saved me all day long. I put my hope in you. Psalms 23:5. O Lord, you alone are my hope. I have trust you. O Lord, from childhood, yes, you have been with me. From my mother's womb, you have cared for me. No wonder I am always praising you. Psalm 71:5-6. We believe also, groom, even through we have Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory, for we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too waited with anger, hope, for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, included the new body he has promised us. Romans 8:23. If our hope in Christ and is only for this life, we are now to be pitted than anyone in the world. But in fact, Christ has been risen from the dead. He is the first of grand harvest of all who have died. 1 Corinthians 15:19-20. Let us hold tightly without warning, waving to the hope we afford, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Hebrews 10:23. And may God and his blessing to his word. Amen. And I want to say keep the Williams family in prayer. My uncle passed away yesterday up in New York. Now, he was in a nursing home, and he did have the COVID test. But he was 94 years old, Clifford Williams, my uncle.
Glory.
His family. Praise God.
He lived a long life. We thank God for him and for the family.
Yes, and
God has strengthened the family.
Yes, and he's the last of the family, my mother, everybody gone. My mother was the only girl and 5 boys. Everybody gone now.
Thank God for your reading, and we pray God strengthen you and strengthen the family, and your Lord comfort you. And we praising God. That was a strong reading this morning. We thank God for, and we're praying for Father. We just thank you for Pastor Prophetess Millie, for her sister. She was having her surgery today, and we pray God that all goes well. We believe that all is well already, Lord, and we are thanking you and praying you, O God, that you give Millie, Prophetess Millie, the words that she needs to say to the family and to comfort the family, even though she needs comforting. We know that you are her comforter. So, Father, we just thank you right now for strengthening her. Thank God for Apostle Washington that is staying by her side, you know, comforting her with words of wisdom. Yeah. We're thanking God. Words of compassion. Lord, thank God for Bishop Washington. Lord, we just thank God for all of them. And for what you have done and what you are doing and what you will do. We just honor you, Lord Jesus, for your awesome anointed word that you put upon our hearts this morning. Thank God for Apostle Clay. She called me yesterday for a long time after we got off the line. I didn't expect her to call me because I was tired. I was drained after yesterday. And she called yesterday for a long time. We talked for a long time. She was suffering. The Lord, while I was praying with my eyes closed, you know, and I went into this place, and the Lord just showed me somebody with bad knees, you know, and that was one of the praise. Both, not just one knee, but both knees. And she called me. She says, Apostle, that was me. That was me. And he says, and I received the healing there and then. I said, wow. You know, she says, I received it. She said, my knees is feeling much better. She said she was having this severe pain in both of her knees, like she had to have surgery. But thank God for that, you know, that God moves and God heals us and God keeps us. And the thing is believing and receiving. And we thanking God and praising God. I got a message yesterday, too, from last evening. I don't know if you got a message from Tina yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah, I got one from her yesterday. Also, I got one from the government, United States government. I don't know if you got that, but I got one, and they're talking about the global reset. I sent it to Apostle Washington. I don't know if they looked at it though, but and they saying the government's saying that it's happening, and President Biden said that he's going to change it. He's going to reset the United States dollar. So that's what it's all about. And that's the global reset. So it's happening. It's happening. I just can't tell what day it's going to happen. But I know it's happening. Yeah. All I can say is get ready. Get ready because it's going to happen. You know.
Okay.
And we're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. They said, the man says that many people are going to suffer, but many are going to prosper. So, and we that in connection to get that money, we got to bless the people. We got to help the people.
Amen.
You know, we got to help the people. Because that's what it's for. It's not for us to go and get a big house and go and live in a gated community. You know, that's not what it's for. God is blessing us so that we can be a blessing to the sheep. You know, we can be a blessing to the sheep. So I'm looking forward to that. I got all my stuff here. I'm ready to go in there and get some, bring out some millions and start doing some work for the kingdom, you know. So I'm excited about that. Yeah. So we bless the name of the Lord. Pastor Washington was off the line yesterday tablet listening by computer. So maybe they're listening today by computer. But we don't know. But we pray God continue to keep them safe and secure as they do other things. And she's working out some things for her son and getting his own place, you know, getting him his apartment. And we hope that all goes well and that he, you know, adhere to all that they tell him to do that he needs to do for himself. You know, and we got to pray, keep Apostle Clay in prayer. because one of her sons just experienced some serious trouble. So keep her, keep him in prayer. And I talked to her yesterday. I said, well, you know, sometimes the kids don't listen. And sometimes they feel they're grown. They feel they're grown because they're 30-some years old or something. They think they're grown, you know. But they don't know they ain't grown. They think you get up in your 60s, 70s by doing nothing, not seeing anything or hearing anything. So I told her, I said, well, he's the best place that he could ever be. Because if he's out here running and doing the things he's been doing, he's standing a chance of losing his life. But at least now he got a chance of seeing things from the right way, right perspective, and putting it together. You know, I had to pray for my son to be arrested. You know, because he was drinking too much, he was smoking too much, and all that stuff. And now, well, I talked to him last week. Well, he called in every day, but I told him. He said, Dad, I don't ever want to, never want to go back to that place.
Okay. Praise the Lord.
He's not in the big jail. He in a detention center. You know. He's not in the big jail. He right in Arlington, Virginia. He, you know, close to his home. And he said, I don't ever want to go back to one, not even a detention center. So I said, well, you know what you got to do.
That's right. Do what you have to do.
You know.
You got a family.
Yeah, he got a family. He left his wife. His wife loved him. And she glad that he closed the day, because once the COVID pulled up, she can go and daughter can go see him, you know. And then once he get out of there, he going to get probation. If he got probation, he would be transferred here, because he's coming up here. He's going to move up here. I told him you got to move. Sometimes you got to change your environment. You got to change your environment so your life will change. You got the same people, the same people going to the same places, and you're kind of the same thing, you know. You got to cut out them people, you know. I had to do that when I was coming up from my addiction. I had to leave, you know. I had to leave people. Cut away from them. And then when I got into the body of believers, people said, "They said, well, you're not going to." I said, "No. I'm over here now." One time I relapsed because I went back with them people and want them to see how good I look. But they didn't care how good I look. They was wondering if I had some money in my pocket to put with their stuff so they can get some more cocaine. And I said, I had some money then, you know. So I give them that. Oh, yeah, they was excited. And then I was back out in my addiction. I mean, don't want to go to work, don't want to take care of my family, don't want to do nothing, you know. But when I made a decision, I said, Lord, if you just help me to take that taste craving out of my mouth, I will never touch it again. And sure enough, I tried to touch it too. I went to a place and I tried to touch it. And you know what? I tried to touch it too, Mother. But, you know, the Holy Spirit had taken away the taste from me. And I was trying to, everybody was getting messed up, getting high. And the Holy Spirit said, didn't you tell us that? Didn't you say you wanted to take the taste? I said, well, we took the taste away from you. You can't get high. Everybody's looking at me like I was crazy. I was mad that's right. Because everybody was getting high. And I was mad. I said, man, I said, but people high, and I can't get high. I'm smoking and stuff. I can't get high. Mm-hmm. I said, man, I ain't touching that stuff no more. I said, let it go. I couldn't get high. And that was the end of it. That was the end of it for me. I never tried since. Now I can go anyway, and I can go down Skid Row and minister to people that's shooting up, that's smoking, that's drinking. It don't bother me. It don't bother me nothing because I don't have no taste for it. I got a bottle of wine here, kosher wine that I use for Holy Communion. Man, you don't know how long I had that thing. I want to drink a little Timbuktu. If I had a taste for the thing, this is different because it's kosher wine for Holy Communion. Oh, that thing would have gone in one less than a half a day, half an hour. But I had that boy in here for months now, and I just do it every time he tell me to take Holy Communion. I take Holy, like yesterday I took Holy Communion, and I'm gonna take another day this week or next week. Yeah. You know, but when he tells me, I go. I take it. Yeah. But I don't have a taste for no mind altering substance. You know, he changed me. He took it away from me. You know, but I thank God. I thank God for you all. Deacon haven't been able to share anything on the lines lately because he's been busy making all the money. Yeah, so we thank God for you all coming on. If nobody has anything to share, Mother Graham, I thank you and thank you for your family. And I pray that your daughters and grandchildren, all of them looking good. You sent some good pictures there with the family.
Yes.
And the family was out for the birthday.
Yeah, they take me out on 2 days on the stretch out to eat. I say, Lord, I can get some fentanyl. I thank God my sugar. You know, I had a vent do my blood work. I go to the doctor, I think, on the 5th. He done called me, say he if I want to come in or do, And I've been doing, the sugar been doing good. The highest milk this morning I see was 130. Because I guess, you know, I bake my Good Friday buns. And I've been eating a couple of buns and cheese and fish. My friend can bring me lobster tails to bring fish and cod. And I cook them 2 days. So I bet, but that's still ain't bad because the doctor, he said he wanted to be 180. I reached 180, 130 this morning. The other days it was like 101, 103. I say, thank you, Jesus. My foot doctor tell me, I tell him he got me on all this insulin and 2,000 a day metformin and another one. So my foot doctor say, just don't say nothing. Say, stop taking it for 2 days and see how it is. I say, yes, 89, 103, now I notice. Yes, so I started back taking it this morning because, you know, I don't want to go crazy, but it never reached 200, never reached 180. So I say, thank be to God. I go to the doctor on the 5th, and I go to the specialist, too, this month. I got to find, I know I got an appointment for him, too. So thank the Lord. I eat up all that bread and fish, but everything is well.
That's good. That's good. Everything is balancing out for you. That's real good. That's real good.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. And I drink my bitters. You know, I buy the sorcy and I boil it, the bitter melon. Mm-hmm. I boil it and I drink it. So all of that been helping.
Yeah, the bitter melon is good. That is real good.
I buy one and they say take the seed out of it. Sometimes I just boil it with the seed and I drink every morning a cup or night.
Yeah, I got to look for a place around here. The lady told me, I have a lady over here. She's another country over. We used to go to the same church. She told me that the Chinese rest, the Chinese the Chinese
that's
store.
You find it. I find it.
Yeah, she told me go to the Chinese store. And you know, back in my country, man, them things were growing everywhere. Been a melon everywhere. Everywhere you go through the bush, they're everywhere. Everywhere. Everybody wearing butter. But you get to understand. Then the other thing that they called, we used to call them the dog dumpling. It looked like a dumpling on the tree. And it's a fruit. And nobody eat them. Now that's what's making so much money, killing cancer. That thing called noni. Noni. That's the name. The medical name for it is noni. But we call
noni,
it in the Caribbean. We call it dog dumpling. You know. And one of my friends, he had a friend here. He's a pastor too here in Boston. He said his friend had stage 4 cancer. I don't know what kind of cancer. He didn't tell me what cancer. He said the doctors couldn't do nothing. He said. And they put his friend on the noni and cut out all the sugar and stuff. He said, man, it killed the cancer. Killed the cancer completely. Stage 4 cancer. He said, I said, man, he said, I didn't know what the noni. I didn't know the noni then. This is several years ago. I didn't know noni. He says, you know the thing you call dog dumpling? I said, I know that. He says, now it's called the fancy name, he said, they call it the fancy name, the noni. He said, well, that thing would kill any kind of cancer. Said, the medical people don't tell you that.
I have it one time.
Yeah, I use it. I keep it in here in the house. I bought a bottle of the capsules, noni capsules, and I also had the liquid. But liquid go too fast. You know, I buy it from Hawaii. I get a liquid from Hawaii, And it comes fast, though. And I ordered. They must be have a company here in the United States, you know.
Uh-huh.
You call the number and says Hawaii, but then it comes there. I mean, three days or so is here. It's at my house.
Oh.
It don't cost that much money. But it cleans,
yeah,
it cleans your system.
Huh.
Yeah. So nobody going to respond. We're going to pray and close out. And we'll see you all tomorrow. I don't know who bringing the word because everybody busy. So, but we'll be back here. We'll be here tomorrow. Don't worry about it. We'll be here. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for Mother Grant. We thank you for her family and even for the one that lost a loved one. And we ask to strengthen Mother Grant and strengthen all the bereaved today, Lord, and those that are suffering with COVID virus and those that are fighting to live. Lord, we ask, God, that you keep life. Lord, we know that you're working out everything for our good and for your glory. So we are trusting you and depending on you, Lord, because we know with you we cannot fail. You said you will fight all our battles. Lord, we ask you to keep Deacon Frazier safe on that job, Lord God. We ask, go and let him hurt himself or hurt anyone. We know his job is a very difficult job. You know, you can hurt yourself with one of them big wrenches. But we praying, God, for his safety and keep his mother safe, Lord. She loved her son and so proud of her son, knowing her son is a preacher now. And, Lord, we ask you to keep her safe and secure in his sister, his brother-in-law, and his father, Lord. We ask you to, oh, God, heal his father from that cancer, Lord, that is, and stuff that's taking over his body, Lord. Let him come back home safe, oh, God, that Deacon could, his father could see him and be proud of him of what you're doing with him now, Father. We thank you for all the apostles and the evangelists and pastors and teachers that are part of this blog talk, really. Lord, we ask your love and your mercy to rest upon each and every one of us. God, continue to feed us, Lord, and we thank you for the person come on with his last number 22169. Lord, we pray for Evangelist Leela, Lord. We ask, oh God, for your watch over her and her family. Praise God, we thank you for Evangelist Sheila and Evangelist Campbell and Evangelist Brown and Evangelist Tina, Lord, Pastor Brown. Lord, we thank you for all these men and women of God, Lord. We ask, Father God, that you continue to gird us all up with the truth, O God, and nothing but the truth. God, as you continue to order our steps in your word, let your word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, we are praying for strength, O God, in this time, Lord God. Lord, so many people are dying, Lord, and people are dying, and even with this new COVID virus that's going around, and even with, Lord, we pray for Florida, Lord, they have all this flood water down there from the factory that's contaminated the waterways and everything, Lord, and the governor is declaring a disaster, Lord God. We're praying right now, Father God, that you would emergency disaster that got there. Lord, we're praying now for you comfort the people. Lord, let the people get clean water to drink, Lord God, and water to wash themselves, that they take care of that problem with that water in Florida. Lord, we are praying right now for those that suffering from the storm and the tornadoes and the earthquakes, oh God, down south, Lord. We're praying, Father God, that they get all the lights back on and that people begin to rebuild, Lord, that they get the finances that they need from FEMA, Lord God, to rebuild. Lord, we are praying right now. As we leave this line, God, we're praying for this global reset to take place. Because, Lord, it's going to take place with us or without us. So, Lord, we'd rather it take place with us. Because with us, we know we're going to do something good with the money to help the poor and the widows and the fatherless. So, God, we just thank you. We just praise you, O God, for you are such a majestic God, a sovereign God, a holy God. You are a righteous God, God. You are the one that sit high and see low. God, we are praising you. We thank you, God, for this gift of salvation. We thank you for the blood that was shed. Thank you for raising up your son out of the tomb and bringing him up, oh, God. We thank you, oh, God. We thank you, Lord God, for without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And, Father, we just praising you right now. I ask you, oh, God, just to honor. Lord, we ask you, God, to continue to heal her body. The doctor said she wouldn't make it, but, Lord, she is still in the land of the living. And, Lord, we are thanking you, God. With this, it would kill her. It's keeping her. Lord, we just thank you, Father God. Thank you for Prophetess Misha. Lord, we thank you for healing her lungs and removing that that cancer out of her lungs, Lord God. God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. See her on Facebook. Talked to her for a while yesterday. Talked to her again yesterday. And, Lord, we just thank God that God is doing a miracle in her life. Lord, that she's going to begin to preach with a different focus. She's going to begin to speak, preach, and teach, oh, God, with such tenacity that people are going to know that Jesus did a work in her life, Lord God. God, her whole lifespan, her whole life, style is going to change. And Father, we thank you right now. God, we just praise you, oh God. We just honor you, Lord God. Thank you for how Mother Grant comes on and read and deliver the word of reading to us and goes all over the world with the word. Lord, we just thank you right now. Touch our daughters, and touch our grandchildren. Lord, we pray for Sean. Lord, we ask you to keep Sean safe while he's locked up, Lord. Lord, we know that the jail cell is not for dogs, but it's for human beings to get humans correct their mistakes, their errors, Lord. So we ask you to keep him safe. Don't let nobody hurt him, harm him, or abuse him while he's there, Lord. And Lord, bring him back, bring him up with a good mindset, Lord, that he have a mind to live and live right, live according to the law, Lord, that he don't got to keep making the prisons cell a revolving door, that he going in and going out, Lord God. Father, we just thank you right now. We praise you, oh God. Watch over Apostle Claire's son while he is locked up, Lord. We ask you to keep him safe and secure. Father, we thank you. We pray for Darian, and we pray for Peter. We pray for Sian, Lord. We pray for Claude, Lord. We pray for all of the apostles, children, and grandchildren, Lord, in Texas and then Louisiana. Lord, we ask for your keeping mercy, your keeping grace, and your love, your compassion, Lord God. We ask you to continue to watch over them and keep them safe and secure. Lord, we are just blessing you, Lord. God, for we recognize that without you, we are nothing, but with you, we can do all things as you continue to strengthen us. Oh, God, you are such a mighty God. You are such an awesome God. God, we love you. We love you because you first love us. And God, we know that there's a lot of things going on in the United States of America, even in Africa and India and China and Japan and Pakistan and Afghanistan and Iraq and Iran and Syria, Lord God, and Egypt, Lord, and Israel and Jerusalem, God, even in Canada. Oh, right here in the United States, in the Caribbean, there's so much going on. Oh, in Australia, Denmark, and Brazil, all over the world, stuff is going on. But, God, we know that you sit high and see low. We know that nothing is happening on earth that heaven does not know. And, Father, we recognize there's no sickness on earth that heaven cannot heal. Father, we thank you and praise you, oh, God. We thank you and praise you, oh, God. We thank you and praise you, oh, God, for loving us, for keeping us and protecting us and healing us in the midst of this pandemic, Lord God. You are keeping us. You are supplying all our needs, oh, God. And not only our needs, but you are helping us to help others. And Father, we just thank you. We thank you for everyone that's part of Blog Talk Radio that's been able to sow a seed to help Africa and India, oh God, helping the poor people. Lord, we are building a new church in Africa and India, and Lord, we ask you to help us to get the funds to continue to help them to buy the material, the cement and the bricks and the wood and all the stuff that they need to build a church. Lord, we just ask right now, God, that you cause people that can afford to sow to help, Lord God. And Father, we just thank you. We are content to praise you. We are content to glorify you as you continue to bless the Blog Talk Radio. Bless us with strength. Bless us with healing, with deliverance, for restoration. Oh, God, that you keep us safe and secure. Lord, people are dying all over the place. We just had a woman got sitting in her house, my God, sitting in her house. Old lady sitting in her living room with somebody shooting out in the street, and a shot went through the house and killed her right in her chair. Killed her right in the chair. Oh, God, we ask for protection, Lord. We ask for, oh, God, that you put a hedge around the houses, around the homes of people that are not involved in trials and tribulation, Lord God, that they will be safe from these vagabonds that are there in the street, Lord God. Lord, we ask you to send forth the angels that they will go through the corridors of our neighborhoods, oh, God, and protect, oh, God, protect us from all hurt, harm, and danger, Lord, that we might be able to stand in the day of trials and tribulation. Now, Father, as we leave this line, but not your presence, we pray, oh God, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit will continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever. Father, we speak blessings of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Israel over each and every one of us and our families right now, even our neighborhoods, Lord God. our co-workers, Lord. We speak blessings over them, not cursing, Lord. We speak healing over them, those that are suffering in their bodies. We speak healing. We speak restoration for those that are lost. We speak deliverance right now. Lord, we ask you to cause the funds to be released, this global currency reset to be released so that we can go to the bank regime, make appointment, and go in and get the funds that we need to start building the homes for the homeless folks, oh God, and for these single mothers and single fathers, that we'll be able to do what we are called to do in this earthly realm. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, he said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. That just means that all the attributes, the characteristics of Jesus Christ should be seen in our ministry. Our lifestyle is our ministry. So when we preach the word, we teach the word, and we sound good or we sound eloquent, but that's not it. It's how we live, how we treat one another, how we take care, how we help one another. That's ministry. How we help the poor, how we help those that can't do anything for us, because somebody will give you something, because you know next time they give you this month, you will give them back next month. But how about giving to those that can't give us anything at all? That's where ministry is. And Lord, we ask that the blessing will come in so that we can be a blessing, Lord God. And Lord, we just ask you, oh God, send some work, Lord. I need some site work so I can go and do some work, do some plumbing, some heating or air conditioning work so I can make some money fast and help the people, Lord. We just bless you and we praise you, oh God. Thank you for the Washingtons. Thank you, oh God, for the stewards, Apostle Stewart and Pastor Joyce Stewart, Lord. We thank you for their giving. Thank you for Minister Ondera. Lord, thank you for the givings. Thank you for Sheila Harding. And we thank you for Darlene Campbell, Evangelist Darlene Campbell. And oh God, we just thank you, oh God. We just thank you, oh God. Yes, Lord. We thank you for how they're standing on the wall like Nehemiah. And Lord, they endeavor to keep preaching and teaching the gospel so that we can do what we got to do, that I don't have to carry all the weight alone. But I thank you, Lord, for all those that will come in from time to time and bring a word, oh God, a refreshing word, oh God, that, you know, that when the preaching get tiresome, Lord God, that somebody is coming bring another word to revive the atmosphere. Lord, we just thank you right now. We praise you, oh God. Lord, we praise you for deliverance. We praise you for strength. We praise you for comforting us when we can't comfort ourselves, oh God. Sometimes, you know, we get so heavy, and sometimes we need to have comfort, Lord. And, Lord, we thank you that you come in and you wrap your arms around us like you did around Job and protect us from all that's holding us down, Lord. Lord, we ask for you to continue to watch over my wife, watch over my grandchildren, my granddaughters and grandsons and great-grandsons and great-granddaughters. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you keep my sons protecting while he's locked up, Lord. Keep him safe, oh God, that when he get out, Lord, that he'll be the man that he's called to be, Lord. Lord, let him keep stay in that Bible that we sent him, that he stays studying the word of God, that the word will be a lamp onto his feet and light onto his path. Keep him safe and secure, Lord. And Father, we are careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' holy name we pray. I want to thank God for you all that are coming on and being with us all through the service, and you listen to the word to the end. And the line be open tomorrow. We don't know who preaching tomorrow yet, because nobody sent me a text message or email. But keep Mother Cut, keep Providence Millie and praying, Apostle Stewart and Pastor Joyce, and keep Bishop James and Apostle Linda in prayer. Keep them up in prayer, because the enemy's attacking the families. And just keep all of us in prayer. Let's keep one another in prayer, okay, so that we can grow strong and that we can stand against the wiles of the enemy. God bless you all. Have a blessed evening, safe evening. If you got to go out, remember to wear your mask. Even if you had the shock, still wear your mask and carry your sanitizer with you. You may have to put on gloves if you got to go some places. Put them on. Hallelujah. You're protecting yourself and you're protecting the other person. And if the other person don't want to protect you, you still protect them and protect yourself. God bless you. I love you, but Jesus loves you more. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. God bless you. Have a blessed day.
God bless you. You too, Mother. God bless. Bye-bye.